This is Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the Patriarchs. Now we're going to look a little closer at David and the Psalms. It's a hymnal, actually, of ancient Israel. Traditionally ascribed to King David, David himself. He's the majestic expression of a people's faith in their God. And the book of Psalms has been called a perfect union of poetry and religion. Though most of the Psalms were written to accompany temple rituals, their themes mirror those of great poetry, love and death, hope, despair, alienation and community, the sacred and the profane. The spontaneity and the simplicity of the Psalms appeal directly to the human heart. Their imagery is concrete. God is a shepherd. The sun, a rock, a dwelling place, and their emotions are intense. The poems to be sung. In Hebrew, the book of Psalms is called the Tehillim. The Tehillim means praises in Hebrew. Tehillim, that's what the book of Psalms is actually called. And indeed, many of the Psalms extol the glory of God in His creation. Others record the words chanted by worshiping worshipers during temple liturgies, festivals, pilgrimages, royal coronations and weddings. And at the time of the renewal of the covenant, some Psalms are communal and or personal expressions of thanksgiving, lament, or moral dilemma. The Greek root of the word Psalms derives from psalmos, P-S-A-L-M-O-S, psalmos, meaning the twanging of strings. It's a reference to the stringed instrument. Played along with poems as they were sung, they were intended to be sung is evident from the cues and other musical directions the Psalms supplied for their choir master, instrumentalists, and singers. In addition, a number of Psalms repeat similar or contrasting statements in successive lines. This parallels a structure corresponds to the ancient Hebrew singing style in which two groups of voices alternately answered each other. Now, for those who think that you don't use musical instruments because it's sacrilegious or play or music or anything else, I got news for you. David, he not only played with his stringed instrument, he danced also. He was a good dancer. So keep that in your mind as well. David and his lyre. King David was the most beloved and celebrated singer and musician of biblical times, credited in the second book of Samuel as the composer of a moving elegy and hymns of thanksgiving and praise. 2 Samuel 1:17-27, 22, 23, 1-7. It was David, according to later tradition, who established liturgical music in the temple and determine the role of the Levitical singers. So David was quite the musician. He was quite the prophet. And he was quite the priest. And the king. He was the will of God to be king. Did you know Saul was not the will of God to be king? No. You think that God would appoint someone like Saul that killed 82 priests or that to be his king? No. But David was. He was the literal will of God in action. By the second century AD, a tradition had taken hold that David was the author of all the Psalms, and that variations in their tone and substance marked the changing circumstances of his life. For instance, a celebratory psalm reflected a moment of personal triumph and a lament and a time of distress. Nearly half the psalms bear the Hebrew designation Le David, a term that had been long translated as by David. But Le David can also be interpreted to mean concerning David, dedicated to David, or in the style of David. Moreover, biblical scholars now believe the attribution to David was appended to the Psalms long after they were composed, but nobody knows. I mean, this has been a long time. I wouldn't put credence in it. I would say David wrote the Psalms just like it says. In the mid-19th century, scholars seriously questioned David's authorship. And by the turn of the 20th century, some went so far as to assert that many of the Psalms were written not in the Davidic era, but some 500 years later. But, you know, this is mere speculation, just like everything else. Did you know Darwin's theory of evolution is speculative? It's not proven. It's an hypothesis, and it never will be proven because it's hogwash. Did you know that? Just like a lot of things that you read today are nothing more than hogwash. Take it with a grain of salt. Mostly if it comes from a politician, you know. The extreme position has not been challenged in light of recent archaeological discoveries of other ancient Near Eastern writings. These literary works, which include examples of Canaanite, Babylonian, Assyrian, and Egyptian writings, display striking similarities to the Hebrew Psalms. Current thinking holds that the Israelites adopted the poetic form of the Psalms and some aspects of their vocabulary and use it in worshiping from neighboring cultures. This is pure speculation, though. Like I say, you know, anti-Semitic statements get snuck in to everything that we do. Anti-Semitic statements get snuck in and they bleed over from hatred from various different Arab and people just downright hate Jews. And that's where it comes from. Scholars supposedly date Psalms 29 and 68 as being among the earliest writings in the Bible. Many believe that most of the Psalms probably originated before the Babylonian exile, but that a majority of these were later altered to fit political and religious circumstances. See, more speculation. Speculation. Doubtless a variety of people have an opinion. The 150 Psalms. But if David, if the Bible says David wrote them, I believe David did. How about you? The Psalms have been treasured over the years by Jews and Christians alike. Composers from Johann Sebastian Bach to Leonard Bernstein have written music for them. And a version set to English melodies was the first book ever published in the American colonies. Though the Psalms reflect the unique story of the Hebrew people, and David, by the way, if you want to think that David didn't write it, well, he sure did place himself in the midst of them most of the time, if he didn't. The Hebrew people and the relationship with God, the epic spiritual journey they describe, man's desire to be in touch with the divine. And this is something that no one knows. But I'd rather think that if David's name is on it, it's there for a reason. How about you? David's name is there. It's there for a reason. Now, tomorrow we're going to be studying the temple, and the Temple of Solomon, actually. The erected Temple of Solomon, a great temple, one of the greatest architectural creations ever since the pyramids. It was a great temple in Jerusalem, so that God might dwell among the children of Israel. 1 Kings 6 and 13, the Ark of the Covenant was kept in this temple. Solomon's temple was dedicated during the autumn, Atunim, New Year celebration. Every year thereafter, the Israelites expressed their thanks for the return of the Ark of the Covenant, which remained in the Holy of Holies, flanked by lion-like cherubs. And the priests performed purification rites before the molten sea, a bronze basin supported by oxen. And they offered sacrifices. The worshipers praise God. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl. And in his temple, all say glory. That's in Psalm 29 and verse 9. You know, there's so much concerning the Psalms, just concerning David, Moses, all of the Hebrews. And it just takes a wild card. Someone that knows no better to rise up and say something like, oh, the Hebrews stole their writings, the Psalms, from the Egyptians or Babylonians or someone else. You know, that's anti-Semitic. It's just more anti-Semitism that goes on in this country. It makes you sick, sicker than a dog. The anti-Semitic things that come out of different people that have been elected to office, and most of them are Muslim, Islamic. They hate Jews, they hate Israel, and they support the suicide bomber. They support those that jumped the fence or the wall and raped and pillaged and killed babies and put them in the oven. They support this kind of behavior. So this gives you an idea of who's got an opinion about the Bible. Well, that's our time for today, folks. Go to our website, krciradio.com. and shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening, and please let us know. They're uploaded there. You can listen to them again or download them into your hard drive. Give us a call at 928-368-6766 and write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, as Brother Hansen saying, study to show yourself approved to God.